Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, you're listening to SupTalk.
Yeah, you're listening to the new every other week format that we're doing, which is kind of like what a regular podcast is like. It's not the interviews. The interviews are happening every other week, and this
George,
is like the in-between.
We're all grown up now.
I don't know what that's in reference to.
Well, we're like a fancy podcast now.
Oh, we've been around almost 2 years. It'll be two years pretty soon. And we're also joined, as per usual on this format, by our producer in residence in Berkeley, Will Scoville.
Howdy.
We are monocoastal, but we are bilateral. What is the right longitudinal?
We're in three different cities.
Yeah. But on the same coast.
Yeah, all in the same state. Same state.
For now. We'll see.
We're bipolar. We're north, you're south.
What are we going to talk about today on the show?
We got lots to cover.
Oh, yeah.
We got some more Tickled news. Tickled just keeps coming back.
It never stops.
This is huge news.
I love it. Before we get into our Tickled news, I have to say, like, the amount of people that have come to me and said, A, they love the band Yacht, and they're so thrilled and surprised that we're able to sit down with them and talk to them, because they're like rock stars. And B, how many people love Tickled? And also, how many people had to stop watching it in the middle and, like, gain their composure and watch it, like, the next day?
I didn't feel that.
Did you guys feel
that? I didn't
either.
I didn't have to stop it, but I guess I was a little bit prepped. Like, I'd seen the trailers. I had some idea where it was going. So I don't know if that's what... It definitely is the kind of thing where... what's the last movie that... I feel like when we did Deep Water, that was also an equal amount of, like, what the fuck moments.
Yeah, I really wish Deep Water had gotten more hype. It's a really good documentary.
Yeah.
Well, that fictional version, the Crowhurst story, is going to come out soon, too. So
right.
Maybe bring some attention back to it. But, like, yeah, I can't imagine the fictional version with Colin Firth being better than Deep Water. So the big news... Related to Tickled, we talked about Tickled. We talked about Tickled King. When we recorded, that was still February that we recorded our interview with Yacht. And since then, I believe, I'm trying to dig up the actual date. There's an obituary for the titular Tickled King. as the alleged Tickled King, as far as we can tell. David D'Amato.
Yes.
Dead at 55.
R.I.P.
Dead at 55. R.I.P. March 13th. David D'Amato, the subject of the documentary Tickled, died suddenly, in quotes, on March 13th.
A week after our episode dropped. That's what I would say.
Exactly, a week after.
And there's a note, David Ferrier and Dylan Reef put up a note on their website, saying, look, well, this was a man who we had a contentious relationship with, but we would like to respect his privacy and that of his family.
He was the type of guy who they could have, and their, you know, interaction with him, like, they could have taken it like, awesome, great, he's gone, like, no other people will suffer. But it was a real, really nice note for someone's passing, I thought, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they're still Kiwis. They're not, like, rude people.
Right.
But it is weird, too, because, okay, what implication died suddenly where this huge secret about him has been revealed to the world. I'm assuming that means suicide. What do you guys?
Yes. That's what I thought as well.
That's the implication.
Yeah. I mean, it's in quotes, died suddenly. It's like, it's either that or heart attack, but generally it would say, of natural causes or, you know.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah, maybe.
Will seems to be skeptical of this.
Well,
theory.
I mean, now that you say that, like,
What did you think? What did you think, Will, when you saw that this had happened?
Well, it could be
a heart attack.
He didn't look like a very healthy guy.
That's a good point. No, he seemed like he had a fighting. He had the will to fight inside of him, though. He seemed like he was gonna fight legally against as many things as he could.
How much do you think he went outside and like?
Oof.
He's always doing this stuff. Like.
Yeah. Right, like just the fact that he had to make it all the way to California, he got one of those leg thrombosises or something. He got one of those airplane thrombosis.
Oh, right, right.
It really, I don't know. I mean, it's morbid, I guess, but no more morbid than, you know. Do you feel bad about thinking bad things about him because of this? I don't necessarily think any. It does humanize him, and in a way, the film they try to have some human element and try to understand this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad that he has died suddenly. I mean, there's consequences to your actions, you know, and if he did a bunch of bullshit to people, then you know, I don't feel bad about that. It does suck that it seems like he had a fairly tortured life, which you know,
right.
Right. But I don't feel particularly bad. However, what I will say is I think that they showed a lot of class, in what they wrote about him, David Ferrier and Dylan Reeve. These guys seem like they have lots of fucking class, which I really respect that.
Right.
The letter that they wrote was very sweet and it was poignant. And they even have a little bit of humor when they said, "We met a man who came out swinging," so to speak. I mean, I'm like, Jesus, these guys are great. I just think they have a lot of class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they even mentioned, like, even before he died, that, you know, he came out and he complimented the movie in a couple spots.
Yeah.
You know, and they even mentioned that in that little note. They said, like, he complimented us where he thought the movie was good. He defended himself, you know. Kind of treated him as a worthy adversary instead of just like, you know, dragging his name through the mud, you know, which the documentary has already done, you know, if they're going to do any of that.
So I'm just wondering. Yeah, I'm wondering, is this the end of Jane O'Brien Media?
Right. Is this going to stop? And if it doesn't, then who is taking over? Where's the money coming from?
Right. And is Kevin Clark going to show up again and be like, turns out he's got more vested in this. Clearly he does, but is Jane O'Brien going to end? Is the tickling cell going to end? Because this guy is gone. That's a question that I'm wondering.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's assumed that if this was the kingpin of all this, then yes.
I mean, unless he's... Well, I don't know. Do you think he would have written a will of any sort to hand over that? And, like, who would they be making those videos for? Because remember the doc? Like, there was no talk about these things like going public.
Right, right.
Or making any money off of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that does also remind me. I think I put a link to this, but I can put a link in the show notes. Kevin Jones, a journalist over KQED, posted a great story about how in the 90s he was courted by Terry Tickle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's actually where I read that D'Amato had passed away. It was like in the last paragraph of that article. I was like, what? Wait, I didn't know about this. And, yeah, but Kevin didn't get that far in it. He sent like audio recordings of himself getting tickled. He, you know, got some money, and then he like left for college and like shut down his email account. And then he got like an email from Terry Tickle like a couple months into college, being like, "I still know how to find you." But then it didn't go any further. Somehow he was lucky enough to have
didn't respond, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he got a couple of gifts, and then he just didn't go all the way.
right.
Into the world or have enough where Terry Tickle held anything over him.
Right.
The amount of embarrassment level was low enough.
Well, I guess if he has audio only, is that what he said? That there was.
I'll send you the link. I'm pretty sure he said he only did audio. He had a photo of himself, and Terry was very interested, and then asked him as a compromise because he wasn't willing to go on videotape. Also, it was the 90s. It was like a little harder to have a access to.
You had to get a camera and then mail a
VHS tape to someone. Yeah. So he. I think the compromise was, how about I give you like $100 for audio?
Hmm.
Mm. So,
well, I was just reading this subreddit about the David D'Amato death, and people aren't really sure it's not another prank or another sidestep.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Oh, an official obituary doesn't. That implies that. Well, you can pay for an obituary, but it's pretty illegal to fake your own death also.
Well, so we'll see what happens in the next installment of Tickled.
Like it's a ploy for some sympathy.
Right.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Who knows what'll happen in 2 weeks, right?
I know people that have faked their own death before, though.
Really?
So
you do?
I know, well, I don't know him very well. There's this one guy who's kind of a famous Oakland guy. He's like this Korean dude who will like rap at you on the BART tracks, and he's awesome. Kind of just popped up all over the America. Maybe back in I want to say it was like 2007, he faked his own death, and unfortunately, well, you know, there's a lot of problems with it, but it was right. He faked his own death around the same time someone else died, like in a fire in Oakland that was like in the same kind of scene. So people were real mad at him about it, and you'll still see him around. You'll see him around Oakland on his bike. Just like he's just like one of these character people. I don't know what his if he's got a mental illness or he just is like super exhibitionist. His name's Eugene Lee. If you look up Eugene Lee fake death, you will see. I'm sure you guys. I'll send you a link of a photo of this dude. You guys have definitely seen this guy around.
Probably.
Like he'll just be rapping at you on BART without a shirt on,
awesome.
Like old pants. Yeah. He's a character. But anyway, not the same thing as David D'Amato potentially faking his own death. That's a stretch, but it's Reddit, you know, so take that with the grain of Reddit salt.
Right.
Everything on there has. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, the Kevin Jones article, worth looking at also. KQED, and I'll put a link
to it. Cool.
Right. What's next?
So, George, moving on, we talked about this in the last episode. You went and saw Adam Curtis in
yes,
LA.
Yes, I did. He was doing a three-day weekend of programming at CineFamily. A lot of the early ones sold out. Like, he was doing a talk on the Friday night and then showing Starship Troopers with the screenwriter of Starship Troopers.
Sweet.
Yeah, unfortunately, missed out on those. So the only thing we were free and we could get the ticket was the Sunday night show, which was Brian De Palma's Blowout.
Mm.
And Adam Curtis introducing it. And so, yeah, he didn't say very much. It was only maybe like 5 minutes before the beginning of Blowout.
Oh,
and
okay.
Also, he ceded part of his time to Jonathan Lethem, the author, was there.
Wow.
So they kind of together talked about how much they love Blowout. He talked about how it's, in his mind, a great conspiracy movie. The most I've been able to figure out about Adam Curtis, he wrote something, I can put a link to it. He wrote this essay about how self-expression is just like, kind of like not helping defeat anything. self-expression is sort of like a neutered form of rebellion. Which he does talk about in Hypernormalization.
Right.
He touched on it a little bit in this talk at CineFamily. Also, there's a very, very good interview. If you're going to listen, I don't like to recommend other podcasts because mostly you should spend your time with us. But there's a good talk on Talkhouse. I'm not that into all of the Talkhouse interviews because it's basically two famous people interviewing each other. Mm. But this is a really good one. It's Tim Heidecker.
Mm. Oh, that'd be interesting.
Curtis. Yeah, it's a really good one. I'll put a link to that also.
Cool.
And he really
Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, you know, like it really explains a lot more about Adam Curtis. I was really curious about this dude. I haven't seen any of his other films, but definitely made me want to and kind of understand his style and his philosophy about editing as a form of writing, and like his generation and like just his thoughts on like how America is. He thinks America, we just did this to ourselves, basically,
right?
Which is true. So
yes,
but it's like he doesn't exactly have like any answers for anyone. He's not like gonna Michael Moore like have like an actual answer for you. I guess I was just trying to like trying to figure out, like, I'm like, is he left wing? Is he libertarian? What is his angle on it? But he seems like a dude who is just like came out of this Thatcher world. I mean, he's like, I guess, is he like 50-ish?
I think he's
him and Heidecker are maybe in the same age bracket. That was really interesting hearing those guys talk to each other, because they are both so. What Heidecker does is so based on editing, also. Like, the humor in Tim and Eric is so media oriented and like format oriented. Yeah. Yeah, Paco, have you seen Blowout?
I have. Yes, I have seen Blowout. It's been a long time, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I'd seen bits of it before. I'd never seen the entirety in a theater. John Lithgow is a heavy. Lithgow is in a lot of Brian De Palma movies as a heavy, apparently.
Right.
And like Jonathan Lethem, I've never actually read any Jonathan Lethem, but he had some interesting notes about Blowout. Like, he's like, it's basically like there's three films happening. There's like a meta film that opens it, that's like kind of like your stalker slasher movie.
Yeah.
Then there's like the film itself, and then there's like the film within the film that is Travolta trying to piece it together. Yeah.
Right.
And then
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
This actually made me really want to see the De Palma documentary, because it's like it's so good, but it's so, there's like a lot of misogyny that runs through all De Palma.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, he is like the new Hitchcock, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he really took that part of Hitchcock and blew it up, you know.
Well, if you watch like Body Double, that's very his version of Rear Window.
Yeah. And he's all about doppelgangers, too. Yeah. Like, there's, like, doppelgangers in Blowout that I didn't really remember. To the point I'm like, oh, are there three Nancy Allens in this movie?
Right. Well, and Dress to Kill, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should just do that De Palma doc, it sounds like.
It's really good.
Do. Yeah.
No, yeah, I really love Blowout, and I was like, I wish I could have seen that up on the big screen. I've never seen it on the big screen.
I think it was a print, because it was pretty grainy.
Oh, really? Say.
Yeah, the Cine Family is doing all this programming that's like anti-authoritarian programming through the end of May. It's they're showing like Pink Floyd, The Wall. They're showing a mix of docs and like, you know, like They Live and things like that. The resistance film programming. So shout out to Cine Family. I'm not a member, and I've only been there twice in a year, but the programming is really good over there. And like them bringing Adam Curtis over to do this weekend of stuff was a pretty smart, interesting move on their part.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Cool.
Paco.
Yeah.
You've been, revisiting Making a Murderer?
I have, yes. In anticipation for Making a Murderer Season 2, which apparently is coming in, I guess, later 2017. And it's just, I mean, it's one of my favorite documentaries. It's the series is in my top 10 of all the documentaries I've seen. It's just, I feel like it's perfect. Like, as a debut for these filmmakers, you couldn't get a more perfect debut. I love this series so much. And it's about a year ago that we talked to Red Scott about it, right? About a year ago?
Yeah.
Which is also, if people want to go back and listen to that episode, it's really great. We talked to podcaster and comedian Red Scott about Making a Murder. But yes, there is so much I feel like I kind of probably missed the first time around. I've seen it. I saw it twice, but without hindsight, especially about, you know, about Brandon Dassey.
Hugh got out. Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, being released and... like, what's he up to now? And some of the stuff that the prosecutor has, like, the prosecutor's been going on tour and talking about Making a Murder, about, you know, how the defense hid evidence and all this other crazy shit. And then as we also...
That's right.
Yeah, well, he was, like, also, like, kicked out because of his weird sexual texts and stuff he was sending
to the prosecutor.
Yeah. He told this like one defendant like he would help her if she sent him nude pictures and stuff. So you know,
I just put that episode up on YouTube also.
What's that?
That's one of the ones. Oh, that the making our episode. I put it up on YouTube.
Oh, awesome!
So, yeah, some of our episodes are up on YouTube. Just if you want another way to check out the show.
That's right. We have a SupDoc YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, putting the more popular ones up. That's kind of what the. I can't put all of them up.
Right.
We're at 53.
Yeah,
it's too many.
It's too many.
That would be 1 year if we were doing this once a week. That would have been like a year's worth of shows.
Right.
We're not doing that much.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. Well, what I like about this making a murderer too is that the filmmakers, Maura Demos and Laura Ricaldi, something like that. Excuse me, folks, if that's a mistake.
Greek-Italian, yeah.
You can hit us up on our Facebook page with any corrections. but, like, they're keeping what they're filming this next time around pretty secret. They apparently said that even the people of Netflix don't know what the details are going to be. They're keeping it under wraps.
Wow. People of Netflix.
The people of Netflix, yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's very exciting. They're very talented filmmakers, so I'm really excited to see what they have next. So I wanted to, like, kind of like what I'm doing with Game of Thrones, I'm also rewatching last season in preparation.
Oh, right.
For Game of Thrones. Very excited.
Yeah, some of us don't have 10 hours to just catch up, rewatch
what? It's, I make room for it in my life. I get up early.
All right. I'm so behind on everything, I feel like. I'm behind in every show that I would be normally watching, and I'm behind in like all the docs that I would like to be up on. So
absolutely. Yeah. But you also you have a job.
Yeah, I have a job. I might have three jobs. Oh. I applied for...
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, cross your fingers for me because I applied for a great job, which is there is a cat cafe in L.A.
Oh, my God.
And they need, like, a marketing person.
Oh.
I'm like, could I be... I would do it for minimum wage.
Perfect.
I would be the marketing guy for a cat cafe.
It's perfect for you.
Because I also like cannot have a cat in this apartment. So
really?
Be like we just actually it was the night we saw Adam Curtis. We were walking back from CineFamily on Melrose and I was like, "What? There's kittens in this window? Oh, this is a cat cafe." And I just like bonded with these kittens and then I went back and like had to look up like what's going on. Oh, they're hiring. Great. So
oh.
That would be like my fourth job. If you count this as a job.
Yeah.
My fourth job.
I just applied to an ad agency, so I'm also crossing those fingers.
Yeah. I think we all need more. Look, this doesn't pay the bill. This is a great time to bring up Patreon, probably.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is. Let's tell them about Patreon.
Let's make this a real job for all of us. Like,
That would be
awesome. Let's make this our... Yeah,
I was trying to figure it out because like this show does. I was trying to figure out if it takes more to do the show because of the coordination and like the research. But I'm trying to think like if I were going to write an essay about a documentary, that would maybe take me the 2 hours to watch it, like 3 hours to write it, and maybe editing. And that's like this, but then times three because we all watch it. And we all have like thoughts about it, and then we have to schedule ourselves to do it.
Yes.
Well, then I have to listen to it like 2 or 3 times at least.
Yeah, you have the worst job. Will has the worst job.
Will
He's doing what the listener is doing times three.
Yes, he has to listen to us and edit, which is not easy.
Yeah, and I've been pulling a lot of stuff out lately.
It's all ending up on Patreon.
Yeah,
ends up on Patreon.
There's some
we
good
use
nuggets.
All the buffalo, you guys.
It's
all
right.
The buffalo.
Go to patreon.com/supdocpodcast. And if you have any spare money, even a buck a month, please donate. We would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of cool stuff. We got some, like we said, outtakes from some episodes that we're putting up, some cool stuff. We got a couple prizes we'll send you in the mail. And we're going to think of some more stuff that we can put up there as well.
I mean, I think we're going to try live streaming. And next time we're all in a room together, let's try a live stream.
That's definitely
my theory.
That would be fun.
And also, we also want to know like what you think. I mean, we have the survey also. I'd say take the survey. That also helps us decide like what documentaries we're going to cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's a little area you can type it in. And it just helps us figure out like what you're interested in. and what you like about the show and what you don't like about the show. We need all the feedback.
One thing I would love too is for SupDoc listeners, if you have a doc that you have watched and you have opinions about it, tape yourself on your phone or on your computer and send it to us. And we'll put it up on one of our episodes because we're all about like talking about docs. We want to hear what you have to say as well. So I think if you just watch the doc and you have some thoughts and opinions, just record it and send it to us. SupDocPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we can just put them in, we can cut them into this show.
Yeah.
Other week show. That's a perfect place to put it.
Yeah. So, yeah, give us your thoughts and opinions about whatever you're watching out there.
Nice.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah, SupDoc Podcast, Patreon. Do it. Support.
Yeah.
Yay.
Let me tell you guys what next week is going to be about, because I don't know if everyone's seen this movie. It just came to Netflix. A couple weeks ago, I had a one-on-one interview with Matt Ornstein, who is the director of Accidental Courtesy. And, Will, you've seen part of this?
I've seen about half of it. I had to turn it off to go take care of some... I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
I have 9 jobs.
Jesus.
3 podcasts, 9 jobs.
Yeah. So, I got to watch a little bit of it. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And
it's very well shot.
Yeah, it's a subject that I'm very interested in, that I read a lot about. I was not expecting that when I kind of stumbled into it.
Oh, you didn't know what it was going to be about exactly?
Nope.
Yeah. You thought it was going to be a biography of this blues musician.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
And Paco, do you know anything about this movie?
I mean, I know a little bit. I've read a few reviews, and I read up. I have not seen it, but it's also, I kind of feel like it's interesting. It's Daryl Davis, right?
Daryl Davis, yeah. So the story, it's mostly, it's a movie about Daryl Davis, who is an African-American musician based in D.C., who, since the 80s, has been befriending members of the KKK and other white nationalist groups. And his kind of goal is to befriend these hate group people and eventually get them to realize, oh, I don't really hate black people because I like this one black person.
Right, right.
And it's been surprisingly effective.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like turned at least 25 people to give them... He has a collection of retired hoods and robes of KKK members.
Wow.
So that's what this documentary is about. And it's super timely.
Yeah.
Like Matt has been working on this for a couple years. Came out last year, debuted at South by Southwest last year. Now on Netflix. Had a debut on PBS also. And timely because we have a white nationalist cabinet for the presidency.
Right, right.
So
right.
It's really interesting. And also because of things like Milo Yiannopoulos getting shouted down, getting his talks canceled at places
and
like
his
Berkeley.
His book deal canceled,
and
too.
His book deal canceled.
Awesome.
And Richard Spencer getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
And people kind of having these debates about, you know, decorum, like a lot of, like liberals that just don't want to get in any physical confrontations.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting given that, and I don't want to give too much away about it. I'd say watch it. It's on Netflix. It's also, I think, on iTunes and other sources. But it's very – there's like a really interesting thing that happens about 3/4 of the way through the movie, which made me kind of like reevaluate the movie as I was watching it.
Oh, wow.
So I would say definitely watch it. And next week we have a shortish talk with Matt. It'll probably end up being like 35 minutes or something once we cut out all the fat. So, he's an interesting dude. There's a lot of stuff to talk about with Accidental Courtesy. I think once you watch it, you're going to be like, whoa, I have a lot of questions. Hopefully some of them get answered next week on the show.
And didn't he, didn't he also
ahead,
play with Chuck Berry, who just died, right? Just passed away.
Yeah, he did. Yes. I believe that Daryl knew he's... I think in his 60s, and he was playing music in the 70s, so he's been jamming for a long time and is acquainted with a lot of, and has backed up a lot of legendary musicians.
So episode 54.
Yeah, and that also kind of ties into Tickled as well, in a way. Like, all the monsters are people in the end.
Interesting, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
And that's going to be next week, yeah. A short talk with a director.
And that kind of leads us to our new sponsor, which is awesome, Guide Doc. is SupDoc's newest sponsor, and thank you guys so much for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're a great, app that is specializes in documentaries, a lot of international documentaries. You can sign up for, is it $4.99 a month, only for iOS right now.
Yeah.
But it's a great thing to watch on your phone, and they have updated new content all the time. Like, I just opened it, and one of the new documentaries that they have listed looks so interesting. It's called Men with Balls. It's from 2013, and it's a Hungarian documentary. So if you or I have not heard of this, it's probably because it's Hungarian. It's about the small, impoverished village in Hungary with 99% unemployment.
Whoa.
And they got the funds to create a garden and a tennis court.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're trying to like use tennis to like revive the economy of this tiny town in Hungary.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, it's a 68-minute doc. So it's going to be one with subtitles. I'm going to watch it as soon as I can, and I'll let you know more about it maybe in the next episode of this.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You,
awesome.
You know, my great uncle is like the Trump of Hungary.
Really?
Yeah.
A great uncle. So, like, no living connections? I guess everyone's in Hungary that you would know?
Yeah. He's my dad's uncle. But, yeah, he is like a... he's a politician. He was like this great athlete. He was like their best Olympian.
So not like Trump.
Yes. But he's a complete like a nationalist and like right-wing politician in Hungary. Andrés Balczó is his name.
And yeah. he's still around?
He's still around. Still
if you go to Hungary, can you like go hang out with him?
I probably
maybe you should do a doc about that.
Oh wow. That's a pretty good yeah. But anyway, so guidedoc.tv is their website, and you can download their app in the iTunes store. Check it out.
All right, and now here's a part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching. Sometimes we're not gonna be able to do a full episode on all of these, but I know Paco has a lot of time that he's made to watch documentaries. Paco,
yes.
You had a huge list of stuff you've checked out. I haven't seen, I think, half of these. What have you been checking out?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm watching Making a Murderer again. But then in the last week or so, I watched Beware the Slender Man.
Oh, yeah. I do want to see that.
That one was cool. I mean, it was like crazy, but it reminded me of that movie Heavenly Creatures.
Oh god.
Yeah,
the first Peter Jackson, yeah.
Yeah,
first, but one of the early ones.
Right.
Yeah.
It has that feel to it. It also has a are you fucking kidding me feel to it as well. It's like, come on, you're a fucking 12. Learn how not to stab your friends. And it's well made. It's definitely well made, and it was it's one of those docs, I feel like sometimes they run out of story, and so they're like, but what if he does exist, you know? And I'm like, come on, please, stop it.
Well, it was also kind of like, I think you had to kind of understand the nature of that character and, like, how it exists online and what the online community is like. I think it was, you know... less of like a murder mystery, or not a murder mystery, but like a crime, and more of like, how does something like this evolve online, and is more of this going to happen now that more and more of us live online,
right,
and are getting online earlier, and get kind of wrapped up in these things, you know, and you know, the internet's still kind of Wild West,
absolutely,
you know, not as much as it used to be, but like, so many more people are on it now.
Yeah.
So that's like a yes from both of you? That's a thumbs up?
Most
like
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I will try to watch that and we can catch up on it. Maybe do a real episode. Maybe do a full episode on it. Yeah.
And it's on HBO, so you can check it out on HBO.
Right. I want to recommend, this is something I watched a while ago, but I kind of think about it all the time. It's this movie called Orion, the Man Who Would Be King.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. There is actually an interview with that director on Talkhouse also, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
On Talkhouse Film, yeah.
I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but it was on there a while ago, and I just kind of saw the cover and popped it on while I was eating breakfast and ended up watching the whole thing. And, man, it was fascinating.
Yeah.
It's basically this fella, Jimmy Ellis, who in, I guess, the 70s, he kind of looked and sounded a lot like Elvis. He did the same kind of music, and he was kind of his own guy, but you know, had he been born earlier, he definitely could have been an Elvis type person. He was just kind of born too late, and he was doing that kind of music after Elvis had already been around. But he did have a mildly successful career as like a C-level celebrity as this character Orion, who was this masked character who was, you know, rising from the ashes, and people were like, is he Elvis?
Is it rockabilly music, or is it like kind of rock and early rock and roll?
It's
a little bit of that rockabilly, but it's also kind of like the Vegas Elvis. It kind of becomes like the jumpsuits and the gospel stuff as well. But it was a fascinating documentary, and the guy was absolutely fascinating as well.
Yeah.
I'm remembering now the interview is the director, and she's interviewing Penelope Spheeris. So it's a really wonderful. Interesting talk, yeah. Because they talk about how the music scene, and like they compliment each other a lot. That's what those talkhouse interviews often turn into, is just, you know, people just complimenting each other.
Right.
But
weird.
But yeah, it's good. I especially enjoyed the Sam Phillips part of Orion the Man Who Would Be King, because he was basically like, shit, if people think Elvis is still alive, we can say that we have all this, or basically he was like, we have all this unreleased recorded Elvis material that they would have this guy sing and be like, this is Elvis. Yeah.
Well, they would release it and be like, this is like Johnny Cash and Friends.
Right.
And they would have him sing over like these old Johnny Cash or Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah.
It sounds like a Tony Clifton scenario.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good documentary, though. People should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also watched Eagles of Death Metal, the Nos Ami, however you say that, Our Friends documentary. Very good. Emotionally draining. The story is incredible from the firsthand account of it. And it's Colin Hanks, Tom's son. He made the documentary. It's also on HBO. But it is something else, man. I'll tell you what. It's not that I wasn't a fan. I just didn't know their music. But after checking this out, I certainly became more of a fan of this band. I was like pretty interested. I didn't know their backstory at all. So
is it all about them, or is it really centered around the terror attacks, or is it?
It's mostly about that terror attack in France, Paris, but it goes into their background for sure. You learn a lot about the lead singer and his relationship.
Josh Alm, yeah.
Yep, and his relationship with the drummer guy from whatever that band is he's in. So yeah, it was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. But nice.
Colin Hanks made that really interesting Tower documentary also. Tower Records.
Yeah.
All Things Must Pass is have you guys checked that one out?
I did because I contributed to the Kickstarter.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Years ago. It took forever for that movie to come out. But yeah, I got an autographed copy. Colin Hanks sent me an autographed copy for throwing $20 at it. And I got a record, which is an interview with somebody. I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, they put the interview on vinyl?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
On a little 7-inch.
Paco, I think you would like this movie, because you've worked in record stores, you've worked in record labels. Both. And Tower, I just was remembering something about Tower, which... It was a weird memory late at night, which was their magazine, Pulse magazine.
Oh, yeah, Pulse.
When I was in high school, my fanzine got a write-up in Pulse, and that was, like, pre-internet. That was, like, pretty insane. The more I think about it, the fact that I was, like, 16, living in San Jose without the internet, and I got, like, this write-up, and I started getting mail from all over the world because of this Pulse magazine write-up. And, like, if that probably subtly changed... like the course of what I would be doing with my life in a way. So it's Tower had a huge role in my education in music. Pulse magazine particularly had a really interesting history. They get to it a little bit in the documentary, but yeah.
Well, see, it's weird because like by the time I moved out here, it was all gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like I don't have a whole lot of connection to it.
Yeah.
But the documentary itself, you know, there was. Back in Oklahoma City, there was like Rainbow Records, and then, there was Happy Days, so we had our places. So, you know, I totally felt it. And it was kind of cool to watch how big that thing got and how big of a scene, you know, and how small of a kind of a record shop it was. I mean, not small.
Or just like its Sacramento roots, yeah.
Right, small of an operation it was and how it kind of exploded.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of wrapping up our time frame here. Mm-hmm. So should we try to find a way to close?
Yeah, sure.
Well, thanks, guys, for listening.
What do we got?
Really abruptly. What do we got? Really abruptly, I guess, is what I decided.
So do we got any shows or anything coming up in the next couple weeks that we can bring people to?
Go ahead.
I got April 7th. We got Talkies.
Nice.
Yep, still
I like
going
that show.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen it, George? Have you been to a Talkies show?
I'm curious about your new venue. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we got a brand new venue. We spent 2 months at Amato's in SF, which was, they were wonderful there.
David D'Amato's house?
Amato's.
They hosted us there. They were wonderful, and we're kind of sad to go, but we are opening now at the Lost Church in San Francisco in the Mission. It's on Cap Street, right off the 16th Street BART, right around the corner.
Awesome.
We are there April 7th at 8 o'clock.
And who's on this month?
Oh, my God. I don't even know because we have been, we're like booked like 3 months out, and so I've just been seeing names and names and names.
That is so unlike how it used to be. It was like,
let's book it now.
The week of. Yeah.
I know, yeah. The Lost Church, one of the many good things they've done is forced us to book out 2 months in advance, which is great, you know.
Yeah, so Yeah, I feel like maybe like even like Paco, you've done Talkies. Do you want to explain the format to people? Because most of the people listening to this probably don't know what that show is.
Right. Talkies is a multimedia comedy show. We've got our hosts, Lance Smith, Aviva Siegel, Scott Vermeer, and Nick Stargiou. It was originally started by George.
Me and Anna Sergina started that show, yeah.
Yep. She's actually coming back in maybe in April or May.
Nice.
But she'll be back on the as a guest.
Yeah.
But it's a multimedia show. A lot of PowerPoints, a lot of crazy videos and movies, a lot of weird stuff. It's we try not to do stand up, so a lot of characters. And it's always evolving, which is fun.
Yeah. It's a really fun show. I showed my behind the scenes with Mr. T.
No, that was fun.
That show. That was lots of fun. Yeah. People should go see it.
I have a show I want to talk about briefly, which is I've been running a monthly show at Giant Robot Gallery over on Sawtell on West LA, kind of by UCLA neighborhood. We're near like the New Art and the old Cinephile video store. We have a show every first Thursday. So it's going to be April 6th coming up, and we've got Solomon Giorgio, who it was just announced he's going to have a Comedy Central half hour. They're taping in Austin.
Nice.
Kasim Bentley is going to do it this time. He was supposed to do it last time, had to cancel. So he's supposed to do it. That's all I'm going to say. Jason Traeger is doing this show also, who's a comic from Portland, who I also know from back in the music scene. He actually used to work at the same record label I used to work at years ago. Eddie De La Sipe, who is a Toronto comic, is going to do the show. And Jeff Wattenhofer, who was one of the people that helped run Holy Fuck and also runs Sauce, Friday show down here. So that's a free stand-up show I do with Jesse Elias and Jessica Seeley. So
cool.
Free show.
I have, April 19th at Doc's Lab, I have a new show that I've created called Spot On, which is essentially about a fake TV show from the 80s, which I call television's greatest summer replacement show. It's called Spot On. It's with my characters Sal Lieberman and Mitzi Lieberman, and it's a variety talk show. The premise is that it was a TV show in the 80s, and they've now taken it on the road. And it's called Spot On, April 19th at Doc's Lab. And then nice. I'm curating a series of solo shows. I'm co-producing and curating a series of solo shows at the Exit Theater starting May 5th, every Friday and Saturday. At the Exit Theater, we have a different solo shows premiering at that. And I have mine called Painfully White, about growing up a white kid in an all-black family.
I'm just learning that Paco's white, you guys.
It's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, you're my favorite Latino comic, I thought.
Yeah, it gets deep, baby. This has been fun. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. What's up?
What's up?
And then next week, Matt Ornstein, director of Accidental Courtesy. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Paco.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.